Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Chaf Aleph, and we are about 30 lines from the bottom of Daf Chaf Amid Beis Tanu Rabbana. Today's daf is being learned as a Schutz Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devora, Devora bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Avram ben Gittel Edel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, Baruch ben Rachel, Chayim Malka bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel bas Rachel Shendel, Meira Chava bas Shoshana, Rachama Yiska Miriam bas Tzirul Bracha, and Esther Kreindl bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas, Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So we're in the middle of Perek Elul Megalchin, which talks primarily about the laws of Avelos. Today's daf is going to be again 100% about Hilchos Avelos. So just to reframe where we are as it relates to the beginning of today's daf, and that is we're discussing the laws of mourning. And as we've seen, mourning is something one has to do over a 12-month period. However, it's broken down into phases. So, working backwards, there's a period of Avelos that lasts a full year. It's Yud Beis Chodesh. The Sfarim say that the idea of Avelos Yud Beis Chodesh is for a person to mourn his Kariv in every single matzav. So, for example, Chanukah and Purim and Pesach, anything that's going to come about during the course of the year, a summer, a winter, an Erev Yontif, there should be a sense of loss and a sense of mourning. Once a full cycle of life, a Yud Beis Chodesh passes, at that point there's no obligation of mourning anymore. But on some level, there's an obligation for a person to mourn his relative for 12 months. There's a more intense period that lasts 30 days. An even more intense period that lasts 7 days, what's known as Shiva. Within Shiva, the first 3 days are known as Yimei Bechi, days of crying. Those days are even more chomer. And the first day of the Shiva, the Yom Rishon, that's the most chomer. In fact, according to the Rambam and the Rif, Avelos is the Raisa, but only Avelos the Yom Rishon. So we have the first day, then the first 3 days, then the first 7 days, the first 30 days, and then it concludes with Yud Beis Chodesh. Today's daf is going to begin with a very important braisa, and that is, what relative does a person have to mourn? Meaning, all relatives, or are there only specific relatives? Zok to Gemara, a braisa, Tanu Rabbanon, Kala Amar b'Parshas Kayanim, all the relatives that are mentioned in the Parsha of the Kayanim, meaning Parshas Emor, that the Torah says that a Kayin who ordinarily is not allowed to be metamet to a mace is allowed to be metamet to these people. An Avil has an obligation to mourn those people, the Elohein. And these are those relatives that a Kayin is allowed to be metamet to, and as a result, an Avil would have an obligation to mourn. Ishtai, a person's wife. Avi v'imai, his father and his mother. Achiv v'achoysai, his brother and his sister. Pnoyu bitai, his son and his daughter. So the relatives that a person is obligated to mourn are the same as the relatives that a kohen is allowed to be metamet to. 7 relatives are mentioned in the Torah that a kohen is allowed to be metamet to. It's those 7 relatives that a person ordinarily would have an obligation to mourn. Says the Gemara, Yisifu Aleihem. However, Chazal were moisif a little bit on the Zayin Kroivim that the kohen is allowed to be metamet to. Who are they moisif? Number one, Achiv Achoisai Hapsula Me'imai. A person's brother and his sister, if she's a psula, but Me'imai, meaning where this person is only brothers and sisters from the maternal side. They share a common mother, they don't share a common father. Why is that Hoisifu Aleihem? Because the only time a kohen is allowed to be metamel achiv ulachoisoi is if it's achiv v'achoisoi min ha'av. If it's achiv v'achoisoi min ha'em, the kohen's actually not allowed to be metamel to that person. Therefore, it's a Hoisifu Aleihem. This is actually an add-on to the 7 krovim that I mentioned that the kohen's allowed to be metamel to. Additionally, v'achoisoi nesua bei me'aviv bei me'imai. The Torah says that a kohen's allowed to be metamel to his sister, but only if she's a psula. Once she gets married to somebody else, at that point he's not allowed to be metamater. Chazal were moisif and said that even achoisei nesua, there is an obligation of avelos, and therefore achoisei nesua, it's bei me'aviv bei me'imai, meaning certainly me'imai, because achoisei me'imai, the kohen is never allowed to be metamater. But even me'aviv, ordinarily achoisei me'aviv, the kohen is allowed to be metamater, but again, it's only the besulo. So the Brisa says that Hoisifu Aleihem, achoisoi nesua, even if it's may aviv. So that's the first part of the brisa. Very straightforward. What's the definition of a kariv as it relates to avelus? Whoever a kohen's allowed to be metamatu, that's who a person has an obligation to mourn. Continues the brisa with a tremendous chiddush. Ukshem shem sabal aleim, just like a person has an obligation to mourn his seven krivim, kach misabel al shniim shalahem. So too, a person has an obligation to mourn the relatives of his relatives. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, azoi halt Rabbi Akiva. This is going to be a little bit more clear in a moment, but basically what Rabbi Akiva is saying is that if a person has a kariv, one of his seven krivim, that he has an obligation to mourn if they die, and that kariv didn't die, but that kariv has a kariv, meaning one of the kariv seven krivim that died, as a result, the person's kariv is sitting shiva, now this person himself has an obligation to sit shiva as well. So a person has a chiyuv to be misabel if any one of his krovim are in a state of avails. Not everybody holds that way, but divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, "Ein misabel el al ben benoy val avi aviv." It's true, but only for two krovim. Number one, his son's son, and number two, his father's father. So if a person has a son who has a son that never dies, so of course the son is the kariv. Thus, the son's son is the kariv's kariv, the son's going to be mourning, the zayd would have a chiv to mourn as well. And the same is true in the reverse. If a person's father's father dies, being that the person's father is mourning and the father's his kariv, he would have an obligation to mourn as well. Anytime a person would have an obligation to mourn a person if that person died, if that person's alive but that person's mourning someone else, this person would have an obligation to mourn together with the person. So we have the seif of the braisa that's discussing a case where a person has a kariv that's one of the zayin krivim, a kariv that he himself would have an obligation to mourn over if that person died. That person didn't die, but that person is now mourning somebody else. So the halach is, does this person now have an obligation of avelus or not? And the braisa mentioned the three way machlokes. Rabbi Akiva said, yeah. Rav Shimon Elazar said, only a son's son and a father's father. And the Chachamim said what Rabbi Akiva said. Freight the Gemara, the obvious question. You have a braisa that mentions three shitas, but really, when you break it down, there are only two shitas. Chachamim hainu tanakama. Isn't the Chachamim and tanakama the same shita? So the Gemara says, yeah. Essentially it is, but there is an afkamina. The afkamina would be whether this chiyuv for a person to be ba'avelos together with the karav that's ba'avelos, is that true only befanov, only in the presence of his relative, or is that true even shaloi befanov? Rabbi Akiva said, k'shem shemisabel aleim, kach misabel al shniim shalohem. It sounds like if a person has a karav that's sitting shiva, he now has an obligation to sit shiva as well. The chachamim were a little more nuanced. Kol shemisabel olav, misabel imoy. You know what imoy means? Imoy babayis. If they're literally physically together, that's when he would have an obligation to mourn. But otherwise, he would not have an obligation to mourn. So it's true, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are the same shita, that there's a concept of a person being misabel together with a kariv. But at the same time, the nafkamina is, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's true regardless of where that kariv is. According to the Chachamim, it's only ima. And the Gemara says there's a precedent, there's a makar to this distinction, that it could be a person has an obligation to mourn a relative if he's imoy, but not if he's not imoy. Kihada amalei Rav l'chiyah b'rei. Rav told his son l'chiyah. V'chein amalei Rav Huna l'rabba b'rei. Rav Huna told his son Rabba. So Rav and Chiyah, and Rav Huna and Rabba, these are two of the more famous father and sons in Shas. Gemara talks a lot about Chia bar Rav, and of course we are very familiar with the Rabba bar Rav Huna. So Rav told his son Chia, and Rav Huna told his son Rabba ba'apag nonim vilta. He said, if your wife is ever in Avela, so ba'apa in her presence, you should be noig d'avelos. But if you're not in her presence, loy tinig avelto, then you do not have to. Now, a person's wife is obviously his karev. Wife is one of the seven graven that are kohen's metamatu. So obviously if a person loses his wife, rachmana litzlan, he has an obligation to mourn her. He has an obligation to sit shiva, which would mean that according to the Chachamim, if a person's wife is sitting shiva, he himself would have an obligation to sit shiva. But what did Rav Huna tell us on Rabba? And what did Rav tell us on Rav Chiya? Ba'apa, only in her presence. That's what the Gemara says. That is the teretz and in of the Gemara. That's the distinction between the sheet of Rabbi Akiva and the sheet of the Chachamim. They both hold there's a concept of mourning together with the relative. However, the nafkamina is according to Rabbi Akiva, you do it in general, and according to the Chachamim, it's only imay, like these two stories that the Gemara just told. So more on this note. Marukfa Shachavle Bar Chamua. Marukfa Shver's son died. Meaning it was Marukfa's wife's brother. His brother-in-law passed away. So Marukfa's wife was sitting Shiva because she lost her brother. So Marukva felt he wanted to sit Shiva as well. Not just that, he wanted to observe Shalashim. Oh, Rav Huna Lagabe. So Rav Huna came to visit Marukva, Ashkeche, and he saw him sitting Shiva. Amaleise, he told him sarcastically. He said, "So nice, boys, Lamechel." He says, "Why are you sitting Shiva? You want people to bring you meals? And when a person sits Shiva, they bring him sudas." He says, "What, you want the free lunch? That's why you're sitting Shiva?" So Marukva looked at Rav Huna. He says, "What do you mean? That's the halacha." Ra'ukva said his wife was sitting Shiva, and if his wife was sitting Shiva, doesn't he have to sit Shiva with her? So Rav Huna said, when it comes to a wife, the only time this halach is true is if she's sitting Shiva, she's mourning her father or her mother. But if it's not her father or her mother, it's not chamav, the shver, the chamoisa, and the shviger, this halach does not apply. And how do we know that? The Tanya, it's based on a braiso, as we'll see, braisois. We learn to the braiso, mishme is chamav, chamoisa. If a person's shver or shviger dies, in Rashay, lachav, sishtalias, kaychelos, a person has a right to force his wife while she's bavelus to put on makeups, even if he wants his wife to look nice. But if she's mourning, he has no right, no marital right to force her to look a certain way. Not only that, what he needs to do is he needs to take his bed, flip it upside down, and he has to observe avelus together with her. The same is true for her. If her shverosh figure dies, meaning her husband's father, husband's mother dies, she's not allowed to put on makeup either, meaning she has to partake in the morning. She has to flip over her bed, and she has to be noig avelus. This is the first brisa, very straightforward. A man's wife dies, he's supposed to partake in the avelos. A man's wife's parents die, he's supposed to partake in the avelos. If her husband's parents die, same thing. We learned in another brayse. Even though that halacha is that a man is not allowed to force his wife while she's in avelos to put on makeup, but the emes amru, however, that halacha is my zegus leyakos, she's allowed to pour him a glass of wine. Umatzas loymito, she can make his bed. Umarchetzes loypanav yadavaraglam, and she's allowed to bathe him. Meaning, she's allowed to take care of him. Now, if she's allowed to take care of him while she's sitting shiva, what does that mean? He has no obligation to sit shiva. Don't we have a steer between the two brises? The first brise said that if a man's wife is sitting shiva, so what's his obligation to also sit shiva? Not only can he force her, but he has to partake in the avelos. And then we have fakert that if she's sitting shiva, so she can take care of him. I thought he's sitting shiva. So there's a blatant contradiction. What do you have to say? The first brise that says that if a man's wife is sitting shiva, he has to partake in the shiva. It was very, very clear. What was the case? The case was Misha Meis Chama Vay Chamoisai. She's not Stam sitting shiva. She lost her parents. That's more Chamer. And that's a theme that we've seen in Perek Ve'elu Megalchin, that Avelos for a parent is more Chamer than Avelos for other Krivim. So being that the Avelos over here is for a parent, there's another Chumra that he has to partake in it. However, when it comes to Shar Krivim, that's the second Braisa, then he doesn't have to partake at all. So what do you see from here? Shmamina, that there's a Chilik between Avelos for Chamer, the Chamoisa, and Shar Avelim, and that coming full circle was the Maisa Shahai with Marukva. Marukva's brother-in-law had passed away, his wife's brother. His wife was sitting Shiva, and he was Noyik, Shiva Vishloishim, and Rav Huna gave him a psak. He said, "So nice, boys, lamecha. But you want the free meal? That's why you're doing this." So he said, "What do you mean? I thought there's such halacha." So what did Rav Huna tell Marukva? Lo amru ella lechvayt ishtai. When it's chama v'chamoisai. This is the makar. The steer between the two brises. Sometimes yeah, sometimes not. The brise that says yeah, that the husband has to be noig avelos, is clearly talking about chama v'chamoisai. That's the basis to what Rav Huna told Mar Ukva. Zok the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi. It's actually a brise. Lo amru lechvayt ishtai. Ela chamav v'chamoisai bilvad. Ameimar shachav le'barbere. Ameimar's son's son died. Ameimar lost his grandson. Kara ilave. And where Ameimar heard, he writes Kriya. And even though he wasn't really obligated to do so, because Kriya is a sif katan in Hilchas Avelos, and he didn't have an obligation of Avelos, but like we've seen, that there's a concept of a person mourning together with one of his relatives that are mourning, and even Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who seemed to be the most mekel in this halacha, meaning he seems to be the least receptive to this whole concept, this whole notion, but he even agreed that when it comes to a son's son or a father's father, for sure there's an idea. So it seems everybody agrees it's such a concept of mourning together, Rachmana Litzon, with his son if he loses a son, or with his father if he loses a father. So that's what Ameimar did. Ameimar lost his son's son, and he raised Kriya. The Gemara says, Asabre. After he raised Kriya, his son came. And when he saw his son, Karabaape, he raised Kriya again. because he chapped that really the whole purpose of this avelus is to show respect and to be mishtatif in the tzar together with his karev, in this case with his son. So he felt he wanted to do it again. The Gemara says, itkedem Yushev Karev. Then he remembered that when he writes Kriya, he was sitting. So the Gemara says, come, he got up, karem umen, and he writes Kriya a third time. This time he did it standing. So the first time he did it when he heard the Shmuel. Then he did it in the presence of his relative, and then he did it again standing. Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimer. So Rav Ashi told him, Meimer, kriyedem umen, no. What's the makar? How do you know this concept that Kriya has to be mu'umen? So he told him, tichsiv, because the pasuk says, vayakom Iyav, vayikres me'iloi. Iyav got up. And he writes Kriya, so you see, you have to stand. Oh, you have to read the Gemara. It's Va'oma, the Pasuk says, in the parish of Yibum and Chalitza, which is a little me'inyan, le'inyan, ba'oisayo'inyan, but in the parish of Chalitza, Va'oma, the man's going to get up, and he's going to say, Loi chafatzti l'kachta. I'm not interested in doing Yibum, I instead want to do Chalitza. Achinami, it says Va'oma, he stands. You're going to tell me that Chalitza has to be done standing? It's not true, but Tanya will learn to the Brisa. He could be sitting, he could be standing, he could even be leaning. You see, you don't have to be standing. So what do you see from here? You see that the word Vayokam doesn't necessarily mean standing. So how could you tell me that Kriya has to be Mu'umid? Because that's what Iyav did. Vayakum Iyav, Vayikra as Me'iloi. Va'amad Va'amalei Chafatzti over there. It doesn't have to be standing. So the Gemara says, Amalei, he told him, Hasam like Ksiv Vayamoid Vayoymer Hocha Ksiv Vayakum Vayikra. He said there's a nuance in the grammar. By Iyav it says, Vayakum Iyav. By the Yavama, it says, V'amad V'amar. Vayaka means you have to stand. The Amad means that it's just a way of speech, but doesn't necessarily mean literally that you have to be standing. Again, you have to be more familiar with Tiktok to fully appreciate this Gemara's teretz, but that's what the Gemara says. Amar Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says, how do you know that Kriya has to happen while a person's standing? Meaning the Chiyuv Kriya that the Avelim do has to be observed while the Avel is standing. Shemar, the Pasuk says, Vayakum Iyav Vayikra. This Pasuk, right to Gemara, Kilmam Nilsi Yeser Duda Avad. How do you know that? Maybe Iyav Rachman, somewhat, he went through, is unfathomable. Till today, if a person wants to describe the most difficult Yisurim possible, we describe them as the Yisurim of Iyav. So says the Gemara, just because Iyav writes Kriya, does that necessarily mean that every single Avel has to write Kriya? What Iyav was going through was very, very exaggerated. And as a result, maybe Iyav, because of the tremendous tzar that he had, he writes Kriya and he did it standing. But Lav Davka, that's the way it has to happen. Because Diloy Teima Hachi, I'll prove it to you, because if you're not going to say so, Vayogos Hesroisha, the Pasuk says that Iyav tore the hair out of his head. Hachi Nami, you're going to tell me that's a Chiyav? Is there an obligation for an Oval to do that? Now, of course there isn't. Not only is there not an obligation to do it, could be it's not even allowed. So it's even tzarech bir how Eve was allowed to do it. But for sure, Eve's doing things that he wasn't obligated to do. He's doing them out of this excessive tzar that he was in. Someone says, you can't learn anything from Eve. Someone says, you're right. We learn it from somewhere else, from David HaMelech. Now the context over here is that David HaMelech was notified that Avshalom killed his sons. Meaning David's other sons were killed by Avshalom. Avshalom had killed his own brothers. Turned out it wasn't true, but when David heard that, he went into a state of mourning, and the pasuk says, Vayakam HaMelech, he stood up, Vayikra es begadav, and he tore his clothing. So again, you see that Kriya has to be while the person's standing. But the Mar said, V'domo milsi yaser ta'avin. Maybe David also was doing something that didn't have to do. And the Mar said, I'll prove it to you, because the pasuk says, Vayishkav Aretza, that David HaMelech, he lied down on the floor. Now, there's no such halach in Hilchas Avelas that a person has to lie down on a floor. And you're going to tell me, Hachi Nami, right? You have to do it. You don't. Not only don't you have to, there's a brisa that addresses it specifically and says that it's not a real thing. Because for Tanya, we learned to the brisa, Yoshev al Gabi Mito, if somebody sat on the bed, al Gabi Kisi on a chair, al Gabi Udaini on a mortar, he's not Yoitze, his Chiyav. What does that mean? It means he wasn't Yoitze, his Chiyav, Kfiyas Amito. An oval has to be Kaifa Mitas. Today we don't do it, but once upon a time, it's something that an oval did. And what the brisa is saying is that if an oval would lie on the floor, even though it feels like an act of mourning, but he doesn't fulfill his obligation of Kfiyas Hamita. So what David HaMelech did, when the Pasuk says, Vayishgav Arza, was not in fulfillment of any halacha. Elamai, what was he doing? He was doing something he didn't have to do. So you see, David HaMelech is engaging in excessive acts of mourning, things that he doesn't necessarily need to do. So how could you learn from David HaMelech that Kriya has to be mu'umad? Vayokam HaMelech vayikras begadav. You see that David HaMelech did other things that he clearly didn't have to do. Vayishkav Aretza. So just like Vayishkav Aretza was something he didn't have to do, maybe this is also something he didn't have to do. Amalei, the Gemara says, no. Ke'en Aretza. Really, when it says Vayishkav Aretza, it doesn't mean he stopped lying on the floor. The Brice already said there's no such thing. So it's probably not what he did. So what then did he do? He did Kfiyas Amita. And Kfiyas Amita is Ke'en Vayishkav Aretza. And that's why the Pasuk says Vayishkav Aretza. But really, he did what he had to do. he did Kriyas Amita. If that's the case, we have no information anywhere that David HaMelech did something that he was not obligated to do. And if we have no hechrech that he did something he wasn't obligated to do, it's fair to assume everything he did he was obligated to do. So if the pasuk says Vayakam HaMelech Vayikras Begadav, it sounds like Kriya has to be Mu'umid. That's how Amemer knew that Kriya has to be Mu'umid. And again, coming full circle, Amemer heard that his grandson passed away. He writes Kriya, and then when his son came, he did it again Lechfoydoy, and then he chapped that he did it while he was sitting. He was so overcome by the news that when he taught Kriya, he didn't do it in the halachically appropriate way. So he stood up again, like David HaMelech, Vayakam HaMelech, Vayikras Begadav, and then Amemar, he taught Kriya for the third time. So just before we go weiter, the Gemara now is going to shift. So really the first part of today's daf discussed a halacha that says, number one, a person has to mourn a relative. So what's the definition of a relative? The definition of a relative is one of the Zion Kroifim that a Kohen Hedyet is allowed to be metamatu. A Kohen Hedyet is now allowed to be metamatu a mace. That's one of the special azaras that the Torah gave a Kohen. A Kohen has his own Shulchan Aruch, and one of those halachas is that a Kohen is not allowed to be metamatu a mace. A non-Kohen is allowed to be metamatu a mace, even though the Gemara says that there were tzaddikim that would try not to be metamatu a mace, but for sure a non-Kohen is allowed to. A Kohen is not allowed to. Stating that, there's Zion Kroivim that a Kohen is allowed to be Metamatu. And by the way, not only is he allowed to be Metamatu, but Lo Yitamit says in the Torah, and there's Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, whether it means Choyva or means Rishos, and we passing like Rabbi Akiva means Choyva, that the Kohen actually has an obligation to be Metamatu Zion Kroivim. So those are the Zion Kroivim that a person is obligated to mourn. Additionally, the Gemara said that as it relates to the Zion Kroivim, in the event that a person has one of his Zion Kroivim that are sitting Shiva, he has a chiv to sit Shiva together with the Kara. In fact, the Gemara brought a Braisa, Machloikis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, and the Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva, that the halach is often Kamoisei holds, that yeah, a person has to be Mas'abel together with his Kroivim. The Chachamim, that the Rabbim, who the halach is almost always like, the Chachamim say, yeah, there's a chiyuv, a person has to be mesabel together with his kroivim. The only one that held not that way was Rav Shimon ben Elazar. But even Rav Shimon ben Elazar agreed that if it's his son's son, and if it's his father's father, then the halach is that he would have to mourn. Stating that, this is not something that anybody does. And really, it's a chiddush because the Gemara brings a braisa, and it sounds like Medina the Gemara, three tanaim opine, the chachamim, so we literally have all the chachamim in that discussed the shayla, that we're in agreement that there's such a concept. So based on that, it would seem logical that this should be halacha l'maisa. And the truth is, the Mechaber says that it is halacha l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Aveilah Siman Shina and Dalas of Katan Vav, he brings this halacha. Kol misha misabel olav, misabel imoy, im meis loy meis. V'chulu v'chulu. It's a long halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So why is the minig not that way? It's based on the Ramah. The Ramah says, v'yesh oimrin, today the minhag is to be makel in this avelus. What's the reason? Because the whole inyan of this avelus is mishum kovet ha-mesablim. It's to give kovet to the mesablim. Va'achshav nagu kulam limcha. The minhag is that if a person has a karev that's sitting shiva, that karev is meichel al-kvoidai, and that's why this halach is not nogeya. So this implied mechila that the karev is being meichel his kroivim, and that's why this halach is not true. V'chein noyagin ha'idna, sh'loi v'sabel klalon ha'mesablim, and then the Ramah concludes, v'chol ha'machmir bazeh, let's see, somebody says, I want to be machmir. The karev says, I don't want to be meichel. Einoi elemin ha'matmiyim. That's what the Ramah says. Einoi elemin ha'matmiyim, meaning there's no such inyan. So halach l'maisa, even though based on the Gemara, it doesn't even seem like there's a way out. But the Ramah says that the whole basis of the takana was because of COVID. So we assume today that the kravim ha-meichel, ha-machmer tovay al-bracha, no. Ha-machmer ein element ha-matmiyim. That's the first R. The second R is this whole idea that the definition of this of kariv as it relates to avelus is the same as the definition of who a kohen's allowed to be metamatu is really something that's very, very muvon. Based on something that the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Lamed Zayin. So Mitzvah Lamed Zayin in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is a mitzvah sheyitamu ha-kayhanam l'kroivim. Again, a kohen is not allowed to be metamah to a karev. Kiyim, the seven Krovim that he is allowed to be Metamato. The Rambam Paskins are Rabbi Akiva, then not only is he allowed to be Metamato to the Zion Krovim, but he has a mitzvah to be Metamato to the Zion Krovim. Says the Rambam, that's mitzvah Lamed Zion. And the Rambam, it's long, but just one excerpt. V'zeh ba'atzmei, says the Rambam, this mitzvah that a Kohen has to be Metamato to his Kariv, who mitzvahs evil. It's a mitzvah of Avelos. Kloimar. Ki kol ishmi Yisrael chayiv l'sabal al kroivav. Because every single yid has a chayiv to be m'sabal al kroivav. Kloimar chameshe meisei mitzvah. U'lechazik chayiv zeh. So says the Rambam, the whole yisoid of being metame to a kariv, it's a sif cotton in hilchas Avelos. So says the Rambam, that really this mitzvah has nothing to do with a kayin. Because really every person has an obligation to mourn his relative. And this mitzvah to be metame to a kariv is really a sif cotton in the laws of Avelos. So why didn't the Torah mentioned by a kayin? So the Rambam says, the Torah mentioned it by a Kohen. Because even a Kohen ordinarily is not allowed to be Matama to a mace. But when it comes to this Inyan, Lo Yatama, he has a Chiyav. And the Rambam says, if a Kohen has a Chiyav, Kal V'Chaymer Yisrael is going to have the Chiyav. Why? Because the whole Inyan of this mitzvah is mitzvah Zambelos. And then the Rambam says, V'Kfar Hisboyer, I already explained to you in the beginning of Hilchas Avelos, Sha'avelos Yoim Rishon Dai Raiso. What does the Rambam mean? He means to say it's the Rambam L'shitasoi. As we mentioned, it's the Rambam Shita and the Rif Shita, the Avelos is Dairaiso. So the Rambam holds the whole concept of Avelos is Dairaiso. So being that the concept of Avelos is Dairaiso is Okta Rambam, Zei Geshmak. This mitzvah of Lo Yitama is a Sif cotton in Hilchas Avelos. It's all part and parcel of the mitzvah of Avelos. So if it's part of mitzvah Avelos, that's what the Brice is saying. The Brice is saying, who does a person have to mourn? The seven Krovim that the Kohen's Metame to. What do the two have to do with each other? Ma'inyin. Zayin Kroivim that the Kohen's metame to Hilchas Avelos. The Teretz is, it's Poshet. Because the Rambam says the whole mitzvah to be metame to the Kroivim is a Sif cotton in the Rambam's mitzvah day rice of Avelos. So if it's a Sif cotton in mitzvah Avelos, so of course it makes sense that whoever is a Kariv as it relates to Avelos would be considered a Kariv as it relates to the mitzvah Loyatama. That's the connection between these two halachas. Zok Gemara Vaita, Tan Rabban, another rice. Ve'elu Dvarim Sha'avel Asabem. The following are a list of things that an Avel is not allowed to do when he's in Avelos. Asabim Malach is not allowed to work. He's not allowed to bathe. He can't smear oils on himself. He can't wear shoes. He's not allowed to learn Torah except. He can't learn Torah. Let's say this person that's an Avel is someone that the Rabbim needs him. Meaning he's someone that he shears Torah with the Rabbim. Then he's supposed to continue teaching Torah even by Avelos. There was a story. Where Rabbi Yossi's son died in Tzipori. And he entered the base Medrash, even though he was in the middle of Shiva, Vidarash Kol Hayoim Kula, and he gave Shia the whole day. Rabbi Barbachana Israel Bey Milsa. Rabbi Barbachana lost one of his relatives. So he thought he knows an Avos not allowed to learn Torah, so he didn't want to go into base Medrash. Amalei Rav Chanino. So Rav told him, Tonino, we learned Im Hoyu, Rabin. If the rabbim needs him, so then the halach is he's not supposed to stop. Meaning, he told him the rabbim needs you, and because the rabbim needs you, you should be learning Torah. So he wanted to appoint a maturgamid. He wanted to have a translator. So whenever Rabbi Barbar Chana would give shir, so he would talk, and then he had someone who would bellow, someone with a very sharp voice, and he would be his nuchzoger. So he wanted to set it up in the regular way. So Rav told him another halach. Tanya, we learned to the price. Well, actually, yamid maturgamid. Just have to be careful not to be maimid or maturgamen. By the way, Rav was a famous maturgamen. You don't think of Rav as being a maturgamen, but Rav actually was a maturgamen. It's tucked away. In the Asara Mili de Chasidos of Rav that we always talk about, the Braisa that the Chida brings in Pesach Inayim and the end of Masechtes Menachos, so mentions 10 chumras that Rav was noyig. So what was the 10th chumra? Shehoye Koylei Arev. He had a beautiful voice. He used to always daven for the Yomid, and he would say, "Kabbadas Hashem mehoincha, al tikre mehoincha, elo megroincha." You should be mechabed Hashem with your throat. So we've said this and quoted this many, many times. But if you look carefully, shayukoyle arev. He was always making himself available to be a maturgamen, which is fascinating because Rav is the famous shaskin Amra Rav Tamar Rabbeinu HaKadosh Lo Yisach Zicha B'Teilim Kol Yomov. But at the same time, he would always make himself available. So this is the biggest Rosh Yeshiva in the world, but Rav is making himself available as a meturgeman to help other Balei Darshanim. And the reason he did it was under the purview of Kabbidus Hashem Mehoincha, Al Tikrei Mehoincha, Elami Kroincha. So Rav is a classic meturgeman. Rav said a halacha related to a meturgeman. Ubelach Lo Yam meturgeman. You can't have the meturgeman. There has to be some Surah Shina. So I said, okay, the Elahecha Yav. So what should he do? So the Rav wants to get up and he wants the darshan, but he needs the torgamin. He needs a setup. So what is the Eitzah Ki Hadetanya Tzabraisa? I said, it was a story of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi's son died. V'nichnas the Beis Medrash, he entered the Beis Medrash. V'nichnas Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya V'yosha Betzida. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya was sitting next to Rabbi Yehuda. V'loch Hashul Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Rabbi Yehuda whispered to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya the Torgamin, like a cliche. Right, he whispered to the Torgamin. The Torgamin is Shmila Rabbim, and the Torgamin was the one that he said it over to the Rabbim, and this is the way he did it. Tanu Rabbanan, another halacha, another very important, another hot button halacha in Hilchas Avelos. Avel Gimel Yom Marishayim Aslan Yechtfil. An Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin for the first 3 days of his Avelos. Mishlishi Veilach, from the third day and on, that's when he's Vishlishi Bechal, including the third day, Mutalan Yechtfilin. At that point, he's allowed to wear tefillin. So let's just repeat this a little bit slower. An Avel is not allowed to wear tefillin the first 3 days of his Avelos. From the third day, however, including the third day, here's a letter with tefillin. Kasha Reisha L'Seifa. How do you even read this line? Avul can't wear tefillin for 3 days, but from day three and on, he could wear tefillin. So if he can't wear 3 days, it means he can't wear on day three. If he could wear from day three, it means he could wear on day three. So which one is it? He can't wear on day three or could on day three. The Teretz is they're both true. It's because Miktsas Hayoim Kekulai. So really, he's not allowed to wear for 3 days. However, the third day is first thing in the morning. So Enochinami, the first thing in the morning, he's not going to wear. But once it's Miktsas Hayoim, at that point, he'll already be able to put on tefillin. So the Isser really is 3 days. But at the same time, day three, it's going to be Mutav. Yibo Panim Chadashas. What happens if Panim Chadashas arrive? So what happens if the person he's wearing tefillin. It's day four. It's day five. And then Panim Chadashas comes. Somebody comes to me, Menachem Avol. Somebody that hadn't been there earlier. So usually when we think of Panim Chadashas, we think of Shavu Brachas. This is literally from Beis Avol to Beis Mishnah, or from Beis Mishnah to Beis Avol, right? This is a case of Panim Chadashas when it comes to Shiva. So this person comes, and he doesn't have a cheshbin. He doesn't know exactly when the person started sitting Shiva. And there's a concern that if he's going to be wearing tefillin, there's going to be a Maris Ayin issue. It's going to look a little bit like maybe this Avol's been wearing tefillin all along. So does he have to be sensitive to the Panim Chadashas? Says the Braisa, Einoi Chaylitz, no, leave it on, don't worry about them. Divi Rabbi Eliezer, Azoi Halt Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua Aimer, Rabbi Shua argued with Rabbi Eliezer on 2 points. Number one, Avol Beis Yom Marish. It's not 3 days in Aladdin with phone, it's 2 days in Aladdin with phone. And what does 2 days mean? Miktsayam Kikulai. So Misheni Ve'elach from the second day on, Visheni Bechlal, including the second day Mutal and Nechtel. It's already going to be Mutal to Etfilin. So really, it's going to be 1 day and a Mashu because of Miktsayam Kikulai. If Mbo Panam Chadashas and upon Chadashas comes, Chaylis, he has to take off his phone. So Machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Pamayim Bahava, as it relates to this halach. Two Machloikis. The first Machloikis is it filling of a novel? Is it 3 days or is it 2 days? According to Rabbi Eliezer, it's 3 days, which really means 2 days and Miktsas Hayoyim. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's 2 days, which really means 1 day and Miktsas Hayoyim. That's the first shayla. The second shayla is, what happens if he's wearing tefillin one of the other days, which he's allowed to, and now Panim Chadashas comes? Does he have to be worried about Maris Ayin to take his tefillin off or not? According to Rabbi Eliezer, Einei Chaylitz. According to Rabbi Yeshua, Chaylitz. Amar Rav Masla. So Rav Masla is at my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's the shayla of Rabbi Eliezer that says tefillin is 3 days? The chsiv, the pasuk says, Vayitmu Yemei Bechi. It says, Vayitmu Yemei Bechi Evel Moshe. And you see, Yemei is 2 days, so there's 2 full days of Isser Tefillin with Miktsas Hayoyim, meaning you're ready to put on tefillin on the third day. Amar Aveinu, my time is Rav Yeshua. Why does Rav Yeshua hold only 1 day? Again, it's 2 days, but really it's 1 day. The chsiv, Acharisa Kiyoyim Mar. This is the Rifs Makar that Avelos is Dairaisa. Velos, the first day is Dairaisa, but it's Vacharisa Kiyoyim. 1 day, so you see, there's 1 ikur day. For Rabbi Shua, Nami Yaksiv Vayitmu Yimei. What does Rabbi Shua do with Vayitmu Yimei? Amalachash, Ani Moshe, the Tak of Avla. It's true. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the 2 days were very significant. But that was Moshe. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shal Kol Yisrael, of Aladairis. But a regular person, it's only going to be 1 day. Rabbi Lezer, Nami Yaksiv Vacharisa Kiyoyim. What does Rabbi Lezer do with the words Vacharisa Kiyoyim? It can Gemir Merir Chad Yoyim. doesn't mean one day of Avelos. It means one day of Iker Merira. The bitterness is only going to be one day. But really, it's 2 days where the Avel is not allowed to put on tefillin. Amar Ula. Ula said, Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, v'halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua b'hanacha. So Ula came, and he saw two machloikis in between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And he said that I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer by one, I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua by the other. Halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer b'chalitza, that what? That ain't a chaylet. You don't have to be worried about Marisayin. Pan Chadash just show up to be Menachem Avel, you can keep your tefillin on. V'halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua, that a person is an Avel, is not allowed to wear tefillin on the first day, but on the second day already, he is allowed to wear tefillin. So the Gemara says like this, Ibailu, b'sheni l'ula, the second day, according to Ula, chaylet ain't a chaylet. Meaning, what would be if Panim Chadash shows up on the second day? Should he take it off or should he leave it on? So again, what does Ula hold on the second day? Holds like Rav Yeshua. Second day, mixes ayoyim. So by Shachris already, mixes ayoyim pass. He's allowed to put on tefillin. So he's wearing tefillin right now. Okay. Somebody now walked in, Panim Chadashis. Ula holds like Rav Eliezer, that ain't a chaylet. So what's the shayla? The shayla is that what would Rav Eliezer hold on the second day? Ain't a chaylet? No, because Rabbi Eliezer holds on the second day, wasn't allowed to put on tefillin on the first place. So the Gemara is tiny that maybe on the second day, for sure, Ula should hold chaylitz. Because memanavshach, if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who holds einoi chaylitz, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't even wear tefillin on the second day. Elamai, you hold like Rabbi Yeshua, who holds you are allowed to tefillin on the second day, but Rabbi Yeshua holds chaylitz. So l'churim memanavshach, that's the Gemara's kler. Says the Gemara, Tashma, bring your right. Amar Ula said, chaylitz meniach afilu meyapame. Ula said that if Panim Chadash walks in, take it on, put it on, I feel a mayor upon him even 100 times. Now, what's Ula referring to? I thought Ula holds a chaylitz. He said, Allah k'rab eliyazah b'chalitza. So, what do you mean, chaylitz maniach, I feel a mayor upon him? Must be, it's referring to which day? The second day. Right? The first day, he's not allowed to put on tefillin. By day 3, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, Einoi Chaylitz. So what did Ula mean when he said, Chaylitz u'meniach, afilu me'apam? There's only one possible explanation. He must be referring to day 2. Oh, so you have a raya that even though Ula holds Einoi Chaylitz, but day 2, he's going to hold Chaylitz. Tain Nami Hachi, Yudim and Teimah said, Chaylitz u'meniach, afilu me'apam. He was referring to the second day. Rabba said regarding the second day, Kivin she'niach, shuv Einoi Chaylitz. No, Einoi Chaylitz, even on the second day. In fact, the Gemara, is that true? Could Rav have said that you could wear tefillin even on the second day? But Rav, Huda Amar, Rav is the one. And if you remember from yesterday's daf, who said Allah Kitana Didonda Amar Shloisha, he's the one who holds that the first 3 days of Avelos are the Ikra Avelos. So much so he holds like the Stam Mishnah on Daf Yotes Amar Aleph. Who's Shitas Rabbi Yez in the Braisa? Who's also Shitas Beishami in the Braisa? Who said a Kiddush that we don't paskin like? And that is that the only time Yontif is Soysa Avelos is if 3 days passed already. Because the Ikra of Avelos is the first 3 days of the Avelos. So if Rabbi holds the Ikra of the Avelos is the first 3 days of Avelos, so why would Rava say kivin she'niach shuv einoi chaylet on the second day? According to Rava, the second day there's no way he's wearing tefillin because the second day is part of the 3 days of Ikar Avelos. Mar says mitzvah shani. He holds his Avelos, but tefillin is a mitzvah deiraisa. So because the mitzvah deiraisa, we can't be so mekel, and therefore Rava holds that a person has an obligation to put on tefillin on the second day, like Rabbi Yeshua, and not just that, even holds einoi chaylet. Tanu Rabban another brayso. Avol gimel yom rishonim asa b'melacha. Avol the first 3 days of Avelos, he's not allowed to work. Even if he's an ani that's misparnis menat stalker, who has a chi of dalut kaisis, right? Like the Mishnah says in Arvi Psachim, it doesn't matter. Even that or a man who is the spitz, doesn't matter. Still, also be malacha ba'avelos. Become veilach after the 3rd day. Oisa betzino, he's allowed to work quietly. Betaych beisnoi, no one's looking. Va'isha, and a woman that's ba'avelos after day 3. Tava befelach betaych beisa, if she wants, she's allowed to sew. She's allowed to knit yarn inside her house. Tana Rabban, another price. Avol gimel yom rishonim einu hoylech beis avol. First 3 days, and avol's not allowed to be menachem avol somebody else. He's bavelus. He shouldn't be menachem avol anybody. Mikam ve'elach after day 3, hoylech, he's allowed to. However, interesting halacha, ve'eino yoshev b'makim ha'menachemin. He doesn't sit together with the people that are being menachem avol. Elo b'makim ha'misnachemin. He sits together with the Avelim. So this is an Avel that's being Menachem Avel somebody else. He sits together with the Misnachem. Tanu Rabban on a 3rd braisa. Avel gimel yom rishon asa b'shalom shalom. The first 3 days an Avel's not allowed to give shalom aleichem. He's not allowed to say aleichem shalom either. B'shalosh ve'elach, from day 3 until day 7, v'ad shiva, meshiv, he's allowed to say aleichem shalom v'enish shalom, but he's not allowed to say shalom aleichem. Mikan ve'elach, after day 7, shalom meshiv kedarkei, he's allowed to say shalom aleichem, he's allowed to say aleichem shalom. So really, we just had 3 braises that discussed Avelos and differentiated between the first 3 days and then the rest of the avelas. Avol gimel yom rishonim asim b'malacha. Avol gimel yom rishonim eni hilchah beisa. Avol gimel yom rishonim asim b'sheil shal. And again, this is matim with one of the themes of Perek Veilu Megalchim, that there's something specific and unique about the first 3 days of Shiva. Either way, the Gemara now, from here until the bottom of the Yomit, we're not going to go till the bottom, we'll pick it up tomorrow, but here, until as far as we get, is going to discuss this last brisa. So what was the last brisa? Avil gimel yom rishonim asa b'sheil shom. An avil, the first 3 days of Avelis, is not allowed to say shom aleichem. He's also not allowed to say aleichem shalom. From day 3 until day 7, it's more kuladig, he could say aleichem shalom, but he can't say shalom aleichem. From day 7 and on, he's shoyel, and his meishiv gedarke, the way he would on an ordinary day. So, Gemara, Shloish Yom Rishonim Asa B'Shei L'Shalom. First 3 days, Asa B'Shei L'Shalom. Is that true? With time we learned to the Brisa. I said there was a story, Meisu Banav Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's sons died. Nichtesu Kol Yisrael, Gans Kla Yisrael came with his speedon, Hespid Godol, and they gave him a very large hespid. B'Shas P'ti Rasan, when they were leaving, Omer Rabbi Akiva Safsul God. Rabbi Akiva got up on a large pedestal. V'Omer, and he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael. He said, my brothers, Shimu, listen, Afilu Shnei Bonim Chasanim. He said, he just lost two sons, but he said, even if his sons would have been, not Bachrim, which is what they were, but they would have been Chasanim, meaning the Tsar would have been even greater. Menucham Hu. He said, what you did now would have given me Nechamu. Because of all the cover that you gave me. And then he said like this, so why'd you come? Why'd you give me all this cover? Right? Who came? Achenu Beis Yisrael, literally, Kol Yisrael came. So he said, why you give me all this kavod? Is it because of Akiva, Harikam Akiva B'Shuk? There's so many Akivas. Not every Akiva zoicha to this kind of kavod. Elakach Amarta. The reason you did it was because Teres Elikabal Ibai, because you knew that my sons, this is Rabbi Akiva talking, they were tremendous Talmid Chachamim. So you came to give kavod at Torah. He said, it wasn't for me. It's for kavod at Torah. So if that's the case, Kol Shken Shescharchem Kachol. He said, surely your schach is going to be kavod, it's going to be double. Because number one, you'd be Mekai, and number two, you be mekayim kavod atayro lechule bateichem l'shalom. And he said, "Far gezunt hate. Everybody go l'shalom." So what's the Gemara's kasha? Lechule shalom. I thought you asked b'shei l'shalom, and this was by the levaya. It sounds like this is the first 3 days. The Gemara says kavod rabim shani. Rabbi Kiva was giving kavod to the rabim, and because he was giving kavod to the rabim, so when it comes to the rabim, it's different, and that's why he treated it a little bit differently. Incidentally, this is another Gemara lechayra, classic Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva is in the greatest matzav of tzar. He just lost two of his sons, and this is Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva nichamtanu. If there ever was an Akiva nichamtanu, right? When we think of Akiva nichamtanu, we think of the last Gemara, Masechtas Makis, Shechalu Rabbi Eliezer. There's a few different Gemaras that come to mind. This gets overlooked. This is a classic. It's literally in the context of Nichum Aveilim, where you have Rabbi Akiva is being Menachem, everyone, giving brachas, relying on a kula, covered rabbim, shiny, Kama Akiva Ika Beshuki. Fascinating Gemara. This is classic Rabbi Akiva. One more Gemara. Mikimu Vadzai Meshav Einu Shoyel. So the Braisa said that from day 3 until day 7, the person's allowed to be Meshav. If he can say Aleichem Shalom, but he can't be Shoyel, he can't say Shalom Aleichem. After day 7, Shoyel Meshav Kedarki, give you regular Shalom Aleichem. Read the Gemara. That's true. For a minute, I'll ask you a kasha. Somebody meets his friend and he's an Avol. So he meets him in the street. Within 30 days, he should talk with him. After day 30, he can already say Shalom Aleichem. He shouldn't speak to him any Tanchumim. If his wife dies, and then he remarried. So even if it's Toich Shloishim, the person remarried, at that point, you can't be Menachem Avol anymore. Even Toich Shloishim, it's Nasa. If he meets him in the street, he should talk to him in a soft voice, and he should give him COVID. But what's the point? The point is that you see from here that Amoitzias Chaveroi Avol B'Toich Lamed Yoim. So the halach is, he's allowed to be medaber imoy tanchumim. However, ve'enoy shoyol b'shloimoy. He's not allowed to tell him shalom aleichem. So for 30 days, he's not allowed to tell him shalom aleichem. What's the kasha? The previous price said from Gimel until Zion, he could be meshev shalom. After Zion, he's allowed to say shalom aleichem. If someone's not allowed to tell the Avil Shalom Aleichem, you would think Kol Shekein, the Avil's not allowed to tell somebody else Shalom Aleichem. It sounds like they're off limits. They're not allowed to have these very nice types of conversations. You can't pagris the person in the regular standard way. So the Gemara is in a stir. Amar Avidi Barabin, he said no. Who shoyl b'shleim acherim? He is allowed to say shalom aleichem to somebody else. And the reason is acherim shluim b'shalom, because the other people are in a state of shalom. About acherim ain't shoyl b'shleim. Other people are not allowed to give him shalom aleichem. Shu ain't shor b'shalom, because he himself is not shori b'shalom. In other words, the Brisa says that if someone meets an avo within 30 days, the person can't tell the avo shalom aleichem. You know why? Because the Avil's not B'Shalom. So what are you telling him Shalom? He's not B'Shalom. Maybe it's like L'Rush. You can't do it. But if the Avil wants to say Shalom Aleichem, that's something he's allowed to do, because the person he's saying Shalom Aleichem to is in a state of Shalom. But the Gemara says it doesn't answer the Kasha, because Midik Tani Meshiv Mechal D'Shailin Anle. The Braisa said he could be Meshiv also. So if the Braisa said that the Avil could be Meshiv, obviously someone is telling him Shalom Aleichem. So that's a Chastira. The first Braisa says he could be Meshiv. It sounds like someone could tell the Avil Shalom Aleichem. And then the second Braisa says you can't tell him Shalom Aleichem. The Gemara says not a Kasha D'Layadi. Maybe when the Braisa says Meshiv, someone said Shalom Aleichem, he didn't know he was an Avil. He just didn't know. But Enchami, had he known he was an Avil, it would have been Asr. But Ihachi, if the Gemara says, if that's the case, Hasam Nami, then why is it for the first 3 days he's not Meshiv? L'chura, he should be Meshiv, because if the person didn't know, he should be Meshiv. The Gemara says, what's the Sheikhis? Hasam, Moidalu, Vele, Mahadalu, Hachalai, Tzarchalai, Deinu. No, we're making a distinction that there's a period of time where the person, if someone tells him Shalom Aleichem, he would have to say that Anchuldik's, right now he's a novel, and as a result he's not allowed to be Meshiv. And then there's a time where he doesn't have to. But really, halacha l'maisa, a person is not supposed to tell a novel Shalom Aleichem for 30 days. We have another braisa that talks about answering Aleichem Shalom. Yeah, but l'yada, you didn't know about it. So therefore you need a Shulchan Aruch to know what to do in the event that someone tells a novel Shalom Aleichem and the person didn't know that he was a novel. But enochinami, you want to know me'ikradin, the person was never supposed to do it exhal. So just to end today's daf with two short raid bites, related to a Gemara that we learned on Daf Chaf Aleph Amar Aleph. This is also a Gemara that we recently discussed in the end of Masechtas Tainis. We have a related raid bite there, a Shtikel Torah from the Reshiva, Rabbi Yochum Olshin Shlita, in a Sefer Yerech L'Mayadim, an epic piece. But Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush, two Ha'aris related to the Halacha that an Avol is Asir B'Talmud Torah. So the Gemara brought up Reis on Amar Aleph, Ve'elu Dvarim She'Avol Asir B'Hem. The following is a list of things that an Avol is not allowed to do. Asir B'Malachu, B'Rechitzu, B'Sicha, B'Tashmash Amita, U'B'N'Ila Sasandol. Then the Reis says that an Avol is not allowed to learn Torah. What type of Torah? Says the Reis of Asir Likris B'Torah B'Nevi'im Aksuf. All Torah should be Ksav. V'Lishnois B'Mishnah B'Medrish B'Alachis B'Talmud B'Agadis. All Torah should be Peh. An Avol is not allowed to learn Torah. He's not allowed to learn Torah Shabbat Ksav. He's also not allowed to learn Torah Shabbat Peh. Tosfos here on the page, Dibra Maschel, the Asr Likbris B'Toira, clears an interesting question. He says that the Mishnah says in the end of Masechtas Tainis that on Tisha B'Av, a person is not allowed to learn Torah. Stating that, the Mishnah says that Dvarim that relate to Churban and that relate to mourning, things that are somber, that a person is allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Says Tosfos that in Hilchas Avelos, our braisa that the Gemara just brought, Ma'ikon Chafalef Amar Aleph, it doesn't mention anything like that. So Tosfos, what's the halacha? If an Avol wants to learn things that are nogeya to Hilchas Avelos, is he allowed to or is he not allowed to? So it's a long Tosfos, but Tosfos discusses this really in the first two lines. It's kedai to see it inside. Says Tosfos, B'tshuvas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Zikni, in the tshuvas of Ma'izeid Rabbeinu Yitzchak Kosav, ki Rabbeinu Yaakov, that Rabbeinu Yaakov ha'yo oiser b'mei evloi. The Rabbeinu Yaakov used to say that when a person's an avil, he's not allowed to learn even the things that are scary, even the things that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So for example, Iyuv and Kinnis and the Dvarim HaRavim Shebi'Yirmiyo. How do we know that? That's Rabbi Yaakov said, because Midloi Tani, Labashmaitin, Kamei B'Tisha B'Av, Shili Tainis, Taf Lamed Amad Aleph, because you don't find that the Braisa says it anywhere. By Tainis, Hilchas Tisha B'Av, it's mefurish that you're allowed to learn certain things. But by Avelos, we don't have this exception. So because we don't have this exception, so Rabbeinu Yaakov, by the way, I don't know where Rabbeinu Yaakov was, but it could be it was Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam's name was Yaakov. The Pashat reason why Rabbeinu Tam was called Rabbeinu Tam was because he was Yaakov, who was an Ishtam, Yoshe Vayhalim. Thus, he was known as Rabbeinu Tam. But either way, so said Rabbeinu Tam, maybe, or for sure, Rabbeinu Yaakov, that you find that there was this idea that by Tisha B'Av it's Motabi, you don't find it in Avelos. So because you don't find it in Avelos, so he said it was Asa. And then Taisa says, but Ubi Mezik Nusoy. But when he got older, Chazav Ahiter, he was Chazer, and he was Mater. And the truth is, that's what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Hilchis Avelos, and this is in Simon Shin Pei Dalet, Sivkotin Aleph. Avil kol shiva yamim asa likris b'tayr nevim uksuvim. An avil throughout the shiva is not allowed to learn tayr nevim uksuvim. Additionally, Mishnah Talmud, halachos and agadas, he's not allowed to learn tayr shiva peh either. Vim rabbin tzrichin loy l'islami. If however the rabbin needs a mutter, like we saw in the Gemara, ubevad shlo yamid the torgamin, he just has to make sure that he's not going to be maimed a torgamin. What could he do? Again, chazar of today's daf. Yoyma la'acher va'acher l'torgamin va'torgamin yashmiya l'rabbin. So it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that an oval is not allowed to learn tayr. Sivkot and dalit, avol mutter likrois, but says the Mechaber, an oval is allowed to learn be'iyoiv, ubekinis, ubedvarim harom shebeir miyo, ubehilchas avelas. All those things an avil is allowed to learn. The truth is, you have the same exact halacha in Hilchas Tisha B'Av. That's in Erech Chaim, Simin Tav Kuf Nun Dalet. Siv Katan Aleph says the Shulchan Aruch, Tisha B'Av asa berechitza v'sicha v'ne'ilas asandol v'tash mishamita. V'asu likreis b'toyer neviyim uksuvim v'lishnois b'mishno b'medrish u'b'talmid b'halachais u'b'agadais mishum shenemar p'kudei Hashem yisharim m'samchei lev. So a person is not allowed to learn natar shabiksav natar shabapeh halacha be'ez u'muta lilmoy medrish eicha. On Tisha B'Av a person is allowed to learn medrish eicha u'perik elu megalchen. Fascinating. On Tisha B'Av a person allowed to learn Perik Elo Megalchim, v'chein lilmoid Pirish Eicha u'Pirish Iyav. Additionally, he's allowed to learn Pirish Eicha and Pirish Iyav. Incidentally, the Mishnah Brura, right here in Simin Tov Kuf Nun Dal in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, he quotes the Lavush that adds a few things. The Lavush says, v'chein agodas achurbin b'perik hanazokin, you're allowed to learn the Gemaras of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, u'b'perik chelik, underrated, there are Gemaras of Perik chelik that also talk about the churbin, v'likrois b'churbin hanisker b'yosifun. Additionally, the Mishnah Brura says you're allowed to learn Sefer Yosifun. That's quite a haskama on Sefer Yosifun. But you're allowed to learn Sefer Yosifun on Tisha B'Av as well. So these are all halachas that a person is allowed to learn, whether it's on Tisha B'Av or whether it's Bimei Avelos. Incidentally, the Magen Avram says that one of the things that the Mechaber says a person's allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, he's allowed to learn Perek Ve'el Magalchem. So this is worth mentioning because we're learning Perek Ve'el Magalchem right now. So says the Magen Avram, it's interesting. Why? Because the Elam Megalchim certainly talks a lot about Avelos, but at the same time, it doesn't talk exclusively about Avelos. There's other sugyas as well. It's the Magen Avram's kasha. Freak the Magen Avram. Even though really there's a lot of other halachas mentioned in Elam Megalchim. We had the three blot related to Menud and Muchrim. Mutta Lilmite, still you're allowed to learn it. The Lay Adif may avil. Because it's Lay Adif. This is all Me'inyan, Le'inyan, Ba'is Inyan. So you have an entire perik of the Elam Megalchim that an avil isn't allowed to learn. Why is he allowed to learn it? Because either it's talking about Avelos or it's talking about things that are close enough. But the bottom line is that's the Halach and Shulchan Aruch. The Halach and Shulchan Aruch is like Rabbeinu Yitzchak was Chayzer Seif Yamav when he said that really an Avil is allowed to learn the Dvarim HaMutarim just like their Dvarim HaMutarim that a person is allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. So here's the Ha'ara. The Ramah in Hilchas Avelos, Simon Shimpei Dalet Sivkot and Aleph says as follows. That let's say there's a person that's a paisik. The paisik is sitting shiva. And people need the paisik. They have to ask him shailas. This is what he does for a living. People are always asking him shailas. Is he allowed to paskin a shaila when he's ba'avelos or not? So it's enough in the Ramah. The Ramah says, v'yochay lifsoik isa v'heter. A paisik is allowed to paskin isa v'heter. L'yochid hashoy eloisoy. To a yochid that asks him a question. Im ein achar elohu. If there's no one other than him. V'tzrichin loy. And people need him. So says the Ramah, that in the event that there's a poisek that's sitting shiva, and people need to ask him a shiloh, so he's allowed to paskin isa v'heter. This is something that he would be allowed to do. Stating that, he's only allowed to do it if it's a shas atchak, meaning if there's no one else, and they touch and need him, then it's going to be mutter. Otherwise, it seems pretty clear that it would be aser. In other words, the Ramah saying that be'etzim, it should be aser for a poisek to paskin shilohs while he's in avelos. Paskining shilohs, you're learning. So if you're learning, it shouldn't be okay. However, if the rabbin needs him, it's similar to our idea, right? The Gemara said it with different amiram, that they darshan the whole day, Rabbi Yosi darshan the whole day after he lost his child. It's aser b'talmud Torah. Torah said the rabbin needed him. So in that same vein, so be'etzim it's aser. Narvas, if there's a tzairach, if he's the only poisek that could pass in the shiloh, so in that instance, it's going to be okay. So the order was that the Ramah says in Hilchas Brachas, this is in Simen Mem Zayin, and in the Halachas of Birchas HaTorah, says the Ramah, Yochel Lifsoik Din, a person's allowed to pask in a Shaila, Beloy Nesinas Tam Litvarev, without explaining the Psak, even without making Birchas HaTorah. The Ramah, since a person's allowed to pask in a Shaila, far Birchas HaTorah, as long as he doesn't explain the Psak. So it bothered me, L'chura, how did the Ramah stems? The Ramah is telling us in Hilchas Avelos that a poisek is not allowed to pass in a shayla b'meyevla, unless it's a question of the rabbim matzrichim loy. Okay, so then he's allowed to learn Torah also if the rabbim matzrichim loy. But be'etzim, it's not something he's allowed to do. So you say meres a rough paskin in kosher, treif, aser, mutter, chayiv, zakai. That's something that is Talmud Torah, and because it's Talmud Torah, be'etzim it's going to be aser. So if that's the case, then why is it mutter to paskin a shayla far matan Torah? And from the fact that the Ramah says that before Birchas HaTorah, a Rav is allowed to pass in a Shaila, it's Mashma Faker. It's Mashma Dosei Snit Talmud Torah. So if it's not Talmud Torah, then it should be Mut to be Me'evloi. Chayra, definitely a Ha'ara worth being Ma'ara. But I think the Teretz is Pashit, and the Teretz is more Geshmak than the Kasha. And that is, there's another Ramah. And this Ramah is also in Ayur Chaim. It's in Simen Pehe. The Ramah over there is discussing things that a person is and is not allowed to do in a Makom HaTinoifes. So, for example, a person not allowed to learn Kriya Shema in a Makom HaTinoifes. A person's not allowed to learn Torah in a Makom HaTinoifes. Says the Ramah, quote, "Ubemakom shemuter laharabai b'divrei Torah." A place that a person's allowed to think and learning. A place that a person's allowed to be maharabai b'divrei Torah. Muter lifsoik din. A person is allowed to paskin a shailo. As long as he doesn't explain it. So says the Ramah, any place that a person is allowed to be Mahara B'divrei Torah, a person is also allowed to paskin a shayla. Any place that a person is not allowed to be Mahara B'divrei Torah, a person is not allowed to be paskin a shayla. What's Pshat in the Ramah? Pshat in the Ramah is Pashit. It's elementary. Simple. It's back of the envelope. The Ramah is saying that saying kosher or not kosher, or saying mutter aser is not a dibur of Torah. Saying something is mutter, what did he say? What's the problem? The problem is you're being maharib at the very Torah. When a Rav paskins a shayla, so someone comes to ask the Rav a shayla, so the Rav starts thinking, he's clearing, right? So what's he doing? Oh, it's the thinking, it's the clearing. That's the problem. You're being maharib at the very Torah right now. Uttering the words is not the issue. The issue is the thought process of the Rav, of the Pesach, when he's asked the shayla. So Zokht Ramah, you want to know if a Rav's allowed to paskin a shayla in a mokim that is questionable? If you can be maharib b'divrei Torah, then you can paskin the shayla. If you can't be maharib b'divrei Torah, you won't be able to paskin the shayla. Why? Because paskining a shayla without explaining it is tantamount. All it is on a good day is hira b'divrei Torah. So if you can be maharib b'divrei Torah, it's going to be mutter. If you can't be maharib b'divrei Torah, it's going to be aser. It's lafizeh, it's pashin. It's haflu v'fela. The Shulchan Aruch paskins mefurish in Hilchis Tisha B'Av that just like a person is not allowed to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av, a person's not allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah on Tisha B'Av either. Oh, if you're not allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah, so then it's poshen. A Rav is not allowed to paskin a shayla either. Unless, says the Ramot, a shas atchak, they need him. Since like guard for Rabbi Yosi, who darshan the whole day after he was a novel. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Rabbim had to come on to him. But when it comes to Berachas HaTorah, everyone knows the Psaki, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch paskins a maharer b'divrei Torah ain't tzarich levarich. You don't have to make Birchas HaTorah. Oh, if Maharib HaDivrei Torah is Ein Tzarech Levarech, so who adin for a Rav to paskin a Shaila without explaining the reason also is Ein Tzarech Levarech? Because at the end of the day, he's going to be Maharib HaDivrei Torah. So it's true. When it comes to Hilchas Avelos and Hilchas Tisha B'Av, over there the Ramah says a Rav's not allowed to paskin a Shaila. When it comes to Hilchas Birchas HaTorah, over there the Ramah says you're allowed to paskin a Shaila on Birchas HaTorah. So L'chair is L'chas Tirah. If it's Torah, then you shouldn't be able to do it without Birchas HaTorah. And if it's not Torah, then it should be Mut to be Me'evloi. The Teretz is it's Maharib b'divrei Torah. How do I know that? It's enough in the Ramah in Simen Pei Hei, where the Ramah says Makim Shemutal Laharib b'divrei Torah Mutal Lifsaitin. So what is it? It's Maharib b'divrei Torah. And just think about it for 1 second. You're not really talking and learning. What you're doing is you're thinking and learning. It's the clearing. It's the thought process that's going through the Rav's mind. That's essentially what the issue is. No, so if that's what it is, it's Gevaldig. And Ilchas Avelos, where it's also to be Maharib b'divrei Torah. So Rav can't pass in a Shail. And Brichas HaTorah, where Maharib b'divrei Torah ain't Tzarech Levarich, even though the guy argues and he asks kashas. But that's the bottom line. And Maharib HaDivrei Torah Shulchan Aruch paskins ain't tzarech levarich. So if ain't tzarech levarich, so I did a Rav will be able to paskin a shayla. And what's the svara? The svara is pashen. Bimei Evloi on Tisha B'Av, what's the problem? Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Cheleif. If a person thinks of a Geshmak HaShtogel Torah, it's Eichet Misam Cheleif. It's Misam Cheleif. It's Poshet that that's the way it's going to be. So if that's the case, what's the difference if the person's talking and learning if he's Mahar B'Divrei Torah? That's why Mahar B'Divrei Torah is Aser, and that's why the Paskin Hashayil is Aser. But when it comes to Berchas HaTorah, it's the brach has nothing to do with the Torah that's Masam Chelev. Over there, Medav Redin and Learning. Why? It's a good kasha. It's the Vilna Gaon's famous kasha. But that is the psak. And here is Lav Kedibur Dami. And because here is Lav Kedibur Dami, so if a person is Mahar B'Divrei Torah, Hot Nishke Redin Learning. You know, that Nishke Redin Learning, Daf Nishmach, and Brechasa Torah. So by Hilchas Avelis, Hilchas Tishabab, where it's about Pekudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev, so here is also Masam Chelev. And because here is Masam Chelev, so it's for that reason that a person, even without giving the time, we'll not be able to pass in a shayla. As opposed to Berchas HaTorah, where it's not about Masam Chilev, it's about Dibur. Here is Lav Kedibur Dami. Mahar B'Divrei Torah Ein Tzarech Levarech, so too for someone to pass in a shayla is also going to be Ein Tzarech Levarech. And Emes says, again, I think this is Pashat, but it's very, very Medoyik as well. Because you know what the Ramah says, that you're allowed to pass in a shayla without explaining the reason? He says it in Hilchis Berchas HaTorah, Sim Mem Zayin Sif Katan Dalet. The Ramah, as we all know, was written as a commentary on the Mechaber. So he wrote it as a Haggah on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said, HaMahar B'Divrei Torah, Einoi Tzarech Levarech. Zok the Ramah, the Haggah, Yachay Lifts Noitin, B'Loi Nesinas Tam Ledvarev. He's commenting on the Halacha, Mahar B'Divrei Torah. The Shulchan Aruch said, HaMahar B'Divrei Torah, Einoi Tzarech Levarech. Zok the Ramah, I'm going to be Moisev. That if the Rav wants to pass in a shayla, it daf oich nishmach in a bracha. What's the pshat? It's the Ramallah shitas in tzimit bayay. Ubamakim shamuta laharer, muta liv sigdin. Ubavachin lo yoy metaymoy. The reason a maharer, the reason a Rav is allowed to pass in a shayla without Berchas HaTorah is because all it is maharer. It's mavur that way in the Ramah, tzimit bayay. It's kamat mefurish also in the Ramah, in tzimit memzayin. Maharer b'divrei Torah ain't tzarech levarech. Therefore, it's not going to be a problem. As it relates to Avelos, it's all about the simcha. It's all about the simcha. Pekudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chilev. And if that's the case, it's also Maharer b'divrei Torah. It's mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. And if it's also Maharer b'divrei Torah, so too it's going to be also for a Rav to pass in a shayla without giving a reason. That's the first aura. The second aura is the Taz in Hilchas Tisha B'Av, this is in Simin Tov Kuf Nun Dal, it says that even though the Mechaber says that there's certain things that a person's allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av and a person's allowed to learn when he's an Ovel, Mutal Lumot Medrash Eicha, Perik Eilu Magalchin, Pirish Eicha, Pirish Iev, Tovush Tasefi Yosifon, right? There's certain things a person's allowed to learn. But says the Taz, quote, Venerally, but at the same time, a person has to be careful not to get too into it. You can't learn drush, you can't say akasha, you can't say a teretz. Even if you're learning morbid sugyas, it doesn't matter. Why? Because at the end of the day, you're going to end up a simcha. Why is a person not allowed to learn Torah when he's a novel? Because of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim, Masam Chilev. These things are going to bring a person to simcha. And because these things are going to bring a person to simcha, so it's for that reason, says the Taz, even though there are things you're allowed to learn, but again, that's the lashon of the Taz, very important. You're not allowed to get into it. It sounds like from the Taz, that what the Taz is saying is that even though a person is allowed to learn certain things, we may evloy, but can't learn be'iyun. Can't learn be'iyun. Meaning, you have to be careful. You can't say kashas, you can't say terutzim. You can learn schnell, b'kiyastig. Right? Just use a lashon amami. But you're going to get into it, you're going to delve into it a little bit too much. It's b'kudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev. Now, what? Learning b'kiyas is not b'kudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev. But either way, it's going to be b'kudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev from the eon of the learning. And if that's the case, this is something you have to be sensitive to. And the truth is, the Chidah in his Birkei Yosef, and this is in Hilchas Avelos, so we're jumping back and forth from Hilchas Tisha B'Av, Erechaim Simen Tovkuf Nun Dalet, to Hilchas Avelos, which is Yerideh Simen Shin Pei Dalet. But in Hilchas Avelos, these two halachas mirror each other, so the Chidah says as follows, Ro'isi le'echad me'hagudoylem. I saw there was a gadol, that b'mei evloi, he was an ovel, sh'yoloi me be'hilchas Avelos b'iyun nimrotz, b'inoy le'bein atzmoy. He was learning b'iyun. U'mashem mechadish b'inyin, shak le'vetar yo'idin koysef u'may la'la'sa. He was writing notes. He was mamish all in. He said, I saw one of the G'daylim, and I was all into it. said the Chidav Aliyah, Hedi Lav Shapar Ovid. I don't think he's right. Devad Akiven Shemaimik Be'iyunoi, being that he's being Maimik, Umechadesh, he's saying Chedushay Torah, ain't Simcha Lebal Torah Gedoy Lemizu. For a Talmud Chacham like this, to say such Chedushay Torah, does digress the Simcha Nevel. Right, we just had the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that said that you're allowed to write Divrei Torah on Chol HaMoed, the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah, because he said Ein Lecha Davar HaAvid Gadol Mizeh. So this is the inverse. Ein Lecha Simcha Gadol LeMizuh V'lo Hitiru Ela Lilmoed Pshatei Hadine V'Ashmoes. Says the Chidah, the only thing that's mutter is to write the basic things. V'chein Kosva Achroinim V'Therish Gabi Tishabav. He means the Taz U'Poshet Pe'enai. So the Chidah brings him a Furish. He brings in Hilch Savelos, even though the Taz says in Hilch Tishabav. Again, it's the same difference. Six of one, half a dozen of another. It's mamish the same halacha. And over says, I saw the Mefarshim say it in Hilch Tishabav. He means the Taz. And the same exact thing is going to be true when it comes to Hilch Savelos. So in other words, we have here the Chidah who's learning it up in the Taz, and it seems come out Mefurish in the Taz that even though a person is allowed to learn certain things, but at the same time the person has to be sensitive in terms of how he learns, and he can't learn it be'ir. Stating that, the Velt says, and this is actually quoted in the Sefer Mevakshei Torah, and if you want to look it up, it's in Krach Aleph, it's Amud Resh Teh Zayin, that Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, the Goyen Hagadol, who was a Talmud Muvik of Rabbi Chaim Briska, said that when his Rebbe Rabbi Chaim was ba'avelos, he was sitting Shiva, he learned the Dvarim Amutarim and he learned it be'ir. And Reb Chaim said that, what do you mean? How are you allowed to learn Be'iyun? So Reb Chaim said, because it's poshnit, that when Chazal said that a person's allowed to learn B'mei Evloi, it means he's allowed to learn. So Reb Chaim said, Iyun, to the extent that it means understanding what you're learning, does he collect? He says, no, the Shulchan Aruch meant you can learn, but don't really learn it. Don't know what you're talking about. Nothing has to make sense. Reb Chaim said, can that mean what the Shulchan Aruch meant? Avadanisht. So he said, if a person learns something, he doesn't know what it means, so he's Ma'ayin. Ma'ayin, this is raid? That's not raid. Raid is pilpulim. This is Pasha trying to understand Ivritaych, what's going on. Now, Pasha Pshat for different people mean different things. But Reb Chaim said, Mein Iyun, this is Pasha, this is what the Rambam made. He was learning the Rambam in Hilchas Avelos. So he said, this is Iyun. It's Iyun, it's Pasha Pshat and Rambam. That's all it is. What makes it Iyun? He says, Avad, you're allowed to learn. If you're allowed to learn, you're allowed to understand. If you're allowed to understand, then you have to be Mayan. So Avad, you can be Mayan. So what did the Taz mean? The Taz meant Pilpulim. He meant Shtikluch Torah. He meant three Shagas Arias Lishitosai. That's what he meant. He meant a Pilpul. A Pilpul, that the Taz is saying, is not Poseidah. Because that's really too much. But Reb Chaim said, if the Shulchan Aruch was Mata Torah, then Avada Nichlal and Dosis has been a fashtein vasmala. It's posh. It's Kaira Aleph base. And that's what Reb Chaim said. Lefum Rieta. And that's what they mean. Reb Chaskel Abramsky was made from his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Briska. That when Reb Chaim Briska was Ba'avelis, he learned Be'iyun because he said, as learning in Nish fashtein does Nish gelern. It's Avada, you have to learn. It's posh. This is posh. Aleph base. This is what Reb Chaim said. Veruyan Advarim Lamisha Amra. But I'll tell you something fascinating as a postscript to this. And that is, I saw in the Sefer Madane Shloima, it's a different halachis, halacha lemaisa from Shloima Zalman Arbach, that they once asked from Shloima Zalman Arbach this kasha, a person that's an oval, so he's allowed to learn the Dvar Mamutarim. Is he allowed to learn the Dvar Mamutarim be'in, or is he not allowed to learn the Dvar Mamutarim be'in? So Shloima Zalman told him, it's an ofen chsam soifer. That's what he told him. It's an ofen chsam soifer. So I said, ofen chsam soifer? Chassam Sofer never said this. Where's Chassam Sofer? It's connected to Taz. There's a Chidah. There's a Meister that's broke down and Mevakshei Torah for a Chaim Briska. It's an Ofen Chassam Sofer? Avud Chassam Sofer. He said, no, it's an Ofen Chassam Sofer. In fact, it's an Ofen Chassam Sofer. It's a Chassam Sofer that we've spoken about in the Daf. Shlomo Zalman didn't say that. But he said it's a Chassam Sofer that we have raid bites on. We've spoken about this Chassam Sofer 10 times maybe. We've mentioned this Chassam Sofer over and over and over again. Which Chassam Sofer? It's the Chassam Sofer when he received the Shaila from his shver, Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger sent the Chassam Sofer a shayla. He sent him two shaylas in Hilchas Avelos. Two shaylas related to Masechta Smachos. Right, Masechta Smachos is the brises that talk about Hilchas Avelos, but Lashon Saginar, it's called Masechta Smachos. So Rabbi Kiva Eger sent him two shaylas. And the Chassam Sofer, when he received the letter, he was very, very taken aback. And in fact, he told Rabbi Kiva Eger about how shocked he was to have opened up a letter from his Gerei Shver and to receive two shaylas in Hilchas Avelos. And it's kedai just to read the first paragraph of this tshuva again. It says the Chassam Sofer talking, it's in Yerideya Simen Shin Mem Vav, Yikras Kedushasa Higiyani. I received your letter. Ubekari by Beis Kushis Behilchas Machis. He said, when I read the two questions in Hilchas Machis, Nirtati Lachoyrei, I got scared. Kin Gavre Kaptona Ana. He said, because I'm a Gavre Kaptona, I get very nervous about these things. And Man de Kapid, Kaptina Bahado, for Amarti, and I said, Hever Charposi Ashe Yogarti, Ki Mishpatecha Toivim. He already started making Tzidik Adin. So if he knew something was going to happen, and he said it was like a shkoga that left the mouth, and in this case, the pen of the shalit. Who's the shalit? Hagadol Kodesh Moiri V'chami Hagoyin Neiro Yor. Rav Kiva Eger. He said, Rav Kiva Eger, the fact that you sent me two shailas, I knew this was shkoga sheyotzam milifnei hashalit. Like the Gemara we just had with Pinchas and Shmuel. V'naseisi Avel. He said, that's what happened. Because Ba'alai Shmua, I received a Shmua, Me'ime Hatzadekis, Seichet Tzadik V'Kadosh Lavracha, Areni Kaparas Meshkava. He said, as soon as he opened up the letter, he knew something was going to happen. Nirtati. He said, I got scared. V'Kachava. He said, he received the letter. Mamish, that time he received the Shmua that his mother passed away. So said the Chassam Sofer, U'behiskoilu ba'afar karni. He said that during Shavua HaAvar, during the week of Shiva, Iyanti B'divrei Kotshoi. He said, I was ma'ayin in the shailas of Reb Kiva Eger. Utmoil Kamti. Yesterday I got up from Shiva. Nisayrarti Hayoyim. I decided today, Lahashiv, to respond. Uletzaref Elof Kol Mashe Iyanti B'yobam Elo. And to write back everything that I went through during those days. Umori V'chami Agoyin. So Chassam Sofer told Reb Kiva Eger, Umori V'chami Reb Kiva Eger, the loy kapit. You're a loy kapit. And man the loy kapit is loy kapti n'madeh. Yavri yune Allah besvoya smachos. You have nothing to worry about. Oh, if you want, you need chadvar ma tishuv av shcholis b'shabbos. You can wait until tishuv av shcholis b'shabbos. Haba leinu l'toivo. Then benkach yefoich l'sosinu l'simcha. He wrote this in the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, Chassam Sofer. So it's a few months later. It's going to be Chodesh Av. And he says that between now and then, it'll be nepach l'sosinu l'simcha. Im kem gam yevul amavus l'netzach. So there'll be no misa anymore. Upshita the lekas peda. Then you certainly don't have to worry about. So the Chassam Sofer says, I know the shver. You're not makbid in these inyanim. So you can sit down and you could be ma'ayin. But either way, we've spoken out this so many times. Why? So there's the fascinating aspect of this that the Chassam Sofer refers to himself in a tshuva as a gavre kapdan, the fact that he told it to Reb Kiva Eger, the context in which he told it to him. There's so much here. Incidentally, this is something we've talked about so many times, right? The Chassam Sofer with his dream in the beginning of Sefer HaZikaron, the Chassam Sofer who learned Pshat and Shmuel in Chul and Daf Tzadik Heyom Beis, that Shmuel Badek Besifra that he used to take insight based on what he was learning, and he would make decisions based on that because he was very worried about maybe certain things can dictate. Yosef HaTzadik was sold because he was learning the Sugya Dagla Rufa, which talks about death, talks about Misa. The Chassam Sofer writes that he was going to Tainus in the Presbyterian Yeshiva before they learned Chulin and before they learned Yevamis. Right, there's so many Chassam Sofers that talk about this same thing. So this is the Chassam Sofer who acknowledges himself two things. Number one, it's not true for everybody. He says it clearly. And he says it's true for him because he himself is a Gabra Kaptana. But I'll tell you something. I think from all the things I've ever seen from the Chassam Sofer on this note, I think this one is mamish next level. They bring in the Minhagim from the Chassam Sofer that the Das Sofer said, it's one of the Chassam Sofer's Einoklach, that they had a Messiah that the Chassam Sofer wouldn't tell people of Simchas. He wouldn't say of Simchas. He would say of Freude. I think that means like Milosh and Simcha. But he wouldn't say of Simchas. He said, why not? Why wouldn't he say of Simchas? He said, because today Masechta Smachis is the Masechta that you called the Masechta of Avelos. And therefore he wouldn't say of Simchas. Now Masechta Smachis is called Avelos because it's Lashon Saginoy. That's the whole point. But once Avelos is called Simchas, he wouldn't say the word Simchas. He wouldn't say of Simchas. What it reminded me of is a Chassam Sofer, also in the Minhagim that we spoke about at the beginning of the Machzer, when we were learning Masechtas Brachas, that the Chassam Sofer wouldn't say L'chaim Toivim. His minig was to say L'chaim Ulevracha. But he wouldn't say L'chaim Toivim. Why not? So the Chassam Sofer said, because L'chaim Toivim is B'gematria Klala. Same Gematria, L'chaim Toivim. So he wouldn't say L'chaim Toivim. So he wouldn't say L'chaim Toivim because it's Gematria Klala. He wouldn't say of Simchas because it's a reference to Masechtas Smachas, which is only a reference to it because it's not supposed to say so, Avelos, because of Lashon Saginoy. But either way, this is why we've talked about this in the past, in the context of Man de Kapit, Kaptina Bador, related raid by Psachim Daf Kuf Yud, Trachgut and Zangut. That was the name of the raid by. But said Shlomo Zalman, so the Oilam asked him, is an Oval Lateral entire being? He told us enough in the Chassam Sofer. He said, which Chassam Sofer? This Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer told Rabbi Kiva Eger, he opened up the letter and he became an Oval. So he sat down and I answered your two kashes. He said, the Chassam Sofer was sitting and he was Miyashiv, two of Rabbi Kiva Eger's kashes. while he was sitting Shiva. He says, clearly you're allowed to learn. That's what Shlomo Zalman said. So Shlomo Zalman said that even though it's a tumult, there's raid and there's anecdotes, but he said at the end of the day, I have the best answer. It's an offen Chassam Sofer. It's a Chassam Sofer. It's a meiser rab from the Chassam Sofer, where the Chassam Sofer writes himself that while he was sitting Shiva, he was ma'ayin in two kashas. Reb Kiveger's Akasha, there's no greater Eon in the world. Reb Kiveger's Kasha is an old Tzarech Eon, right? Pun intended. So these are the Kashas that require the most Eon possible. And the Chassam Sofer was being Oisek in Tzvei Kashas from Reb Kiveger. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said, you tell me. It's an offen Chassam Sofer.